properly vandalize things. In a rage, I flipped the sofa. I didn't expect it to go far, but it cartwheeled across the room and smashed into the far wall. I stared at the trail of dislodged cushions, the upside-down sofa, the cracked plaster and leather skid marks on the wall. How had I done that? The sofa didn't magically right itself. It stayed where I'd thrown it. The anger drained out of me. I'd probably just made extra work for some poor staff member like Hunding. That didn't seem fair. I paced some more, thinking about the dark, fiery guy on the bridge and why he'd wanted the sword. I hoped Surt had died with me, more permanently than I had, but I wasn't optimistic, as long as Blitz and Hearth had gotten away safely. Oh yeah, Randolph too, I guess. And the sword itself. Where was it? Back on the river bottom? Valhalla could resurrect me with a chocolate bar in my pocket, but not a sword in my hand? That was messed up. In the old stories, Valhalla was for heroes who died in battle. I remembered that much. I definitely didn't feel like a hero. I'd gotten my butt kicked and my guts cannonballed. By stabbing Surt and toppling off the bridge, I'd simply failed in the most productive way possible. A brave death? Not so much. I froze. An idea struck me with the force of a sledgehammer. My mom. If anyone had died bravely, she had. To protect me from... Just then, someone knocked on my door. It swung open, and a girl stepped inside. The same girl who had circled over the battle on the bridge, then pulled me through the gray void. She had ditched her helmet, chainmail, and glowing spear. Her green headscarf was now around her neck, letting her long brown hair spill freely over her shoulders. Her white dress was embroidered with Viking runes around the collar and cuffs. From her golden belt hung a set of old-fashioned keys and a single-bladed axe. She looked like the maid of honor at someone's Mortal Kombat wedding. She glanced at the overturned sofa. Did the furniture offend you? You're real, I noted. She patted her own arms. Yes, it appears I am. My mother, I said. No, she said. I'm not your mother. I mean, is she here in Valhalla? The girl's mouth formed a silent, oh. She gazed over my shoulder as if considering her answer. I'm sorry, Natalie Chase is not among the chosen. But she was the brave one. She sacrificed herself for me. I believe you. The girl examined her key ring. But I would know if she were here. We Valkyries are not allowed to choose everyone who dies bravely. There are many factors, many different afterlives. Then where is she? I want to be there. I'm no hero. She surged toward me, pushing me against the wall as easily as I'd flipped the sofa. She pressed her forearm against my throat. Don't say that, the girl hissed. Do not say that, especially not tonight at dinner. Her breath smelled like spearmint. Her eyes were somehow dark and bright at the same time. They reminded me of a fossil my mom used to have, a cross-section of a nautilus-like sea animal called an ammonite. It seemed to glow from within, as if it had absorbed millions of years of memories while lying under the earth. The girl's eyes had that same sort of luster. You don't understand, I croaked. I have to... She pushed harder against my windpipe. What do you think I don't understand? Grieving for your mother? Being judged unfairly? Being somewhere you don't want to be, forced to deal with people you'd rather not deal with? I didn't know how to respond to that, especially since I couldn't breathe. She stepped away. As I choked and gagged, she paced the foyer, glaring at nothing in particular. Her axe and keys swung on her belt. I rubbed my bruised neck. Stupid Magnus, I told myself. New place, learn the rules. I couldn't start whining and making demands. I had to set aside the question of my mother. If she were anywhere, I'd figure that out later. Right now, Being in this hotel was no different than walking into an unfamiliar youth shelter, alley encampment, or church basement soup kitchen. Every place had rules. I had to learn the power structure, the pecking order, the no-nos that would get me stabbed or rolled. I had to survive, even if I was already dead. "Sorry," I said. My throat felt like I'd swallowed a live rodent with lots of claws. "But why do you care if I'm a hero or not?" She smacked her forehead. "Wow, okay. Maybe because I brought you here? Maybe because my career is on the line? One more slip-up and..." She caught herself. "Never mind. When you're introduced, go along with what I say. Keep your mouth shut, nod your head, and try to look brave. Don't make me regret bringing you here." "All right, but for the record, I didn't ask for your help." "Odin's Eye, you were dying. Your other options were Helheim or Ginnungagap or..." She shuddered. "Let's just say there are worse places to spend your afterlife in than Valhalla. I saw what you did on the bridge. Whether you recognize it or not, you acted bravely. You sacrificed yourself to save a lot of people." Her words sounded like a compliment. Her tone sounded like she was calling me an idiot. She marched over and poked me in the chest. "You have potential, Magnus Chase. Don't prove me wrong, or..." From the wall speakers, a horn blast sounded so loudly it rattled the picture on the mantel. "What's that?" I asked. "An air raid?" "Dinner." The girl straightened. She took a deep breath and extended her hand. "Let's start again. Hi, I'm Samira Alabis." I blinked. "Don't take this the wrong way, but that doesn't sound like a very Vikingish name." She smiled tightly. "You can call me Sam. Everyone does. I'll be your Valkyrie this evening. Pleased to meet you properly." She shook my hand, her grip so tight my finger bones popped. "I will now escort you to dinner." She forced a smile. "If you embarrass me, I'll be the first to kill you." Chapter 12. At least I'm not on goat chasing duty. In the hallway, my neighbors were starting to emerge. Thomas Jefferson Jr. looked about my age. He had short, curly hair, a lanky frame, and a rifle slung over one shoulder. His blue woolen coat had brass buttons and chevrons on the sleeve. A U.S. Army Civil War uniform, I guessed. He nodded and smiled. "How are you doing?" "Dead, apparently," I said. He laughed.
"Yeah, you'll get used to it. Call me TJ.
"Magnus," I said. "Come on." Sam pulled me along. We passed a girl who must have been Mallory Keene. She had frizzy red hair, green eyes, and a serrated knife, which she was shaking in the face of a 6'7" guy outside the door marked X.
"Again with the pig's head?"
Mallory Keene spoke in a faint Irish brogue.
"X, do you think I want to see a severed pig's head every time I step out my front door?"
"I could not eat anymore," X rumbled. "The pig head does not fit in my refrigerator."
Personally, I would not have antagonized the guy. He was built like a bomb containment chamber. If you happened to have a live grenade, I was pretty sure you could safely dispose of it by asking X to swallow it. His skin was the color of a shark's belly, rippling with muscles and stippled with warts. There were so many welts on his face, it was hard to tell which one was his nose. We walked past, X and Mallory too busy arguing to pay us any attention. When we were out of earshot, I asked Sam, "What's the deal with the big gray dude?" Sam put her finger to her lips. "X is a half-troll. He's a little sensitive about that."
"A half-troll? That's an actual thing?"
"Of course," she said. "And he deserves to be here as much as you."
"Hey, no doubt, just asking."
The defensiveness in her voice made me wonder what the story was. As we passed the door for Halfborn Gunderson, an axe blade split the wood from the inside. Muffled laughter came from the room. Sam ushered me onto the elevator. She pushed away several other in Harryar who were trying to get on. Next car, guys! The spear cage door slid shut. Sam inserted one of her keys into an override slot on the panel. She pressed a red rune and the elevator descended. I'll take you into the dining hall before the main doors open. That way you can get the lay of the land.
Sure, thanks.
Nordic easy listening music started playing from the ceiling. Congratulations, Magnus, I thought. Welcome to Warrior Paradise, where you can listen to Frank Sinatra in Norwegian forever. I tried to think of something to say, preferably something that would not make Sam crush my windpipe. So, everybody on floor 19 looks about my age, I noted. Or our age. Does Valhalla only take teenagers? Samira shook her head. The Inherjar are grouped by the age they were when they died. You're in the youngest tier, which goes up to about age 19. Most of the time, you won't even see the other two tiers, adults and seniors. It's better that way. The adults, well, they don't take teens seriously, even if the teens have been here hundreds of years longer.
Typical, I said.
As for the senior warriors, they don't always mix well. Imagine a really violent retirement home.
Sounds like some shelters I've been in.
Shelters? Forget it. So, you're a Valkyrie. You chose all the people in the hotel? Yes, she said. I personally chose everyone in this hotel. Ha ha, you know what I meant. Your sisterhood or whatever? That's right. Valkyries are responsible for choosing the Inherjar. Each warrior here died a valiant death. Each had a belief in honor, or some connection to the Norse gods that made him or her eligible for Valhalla. I thought about what Uncle Randolph had told me, how the sword had been a birthright from my father. A connection? Like being the child of a god? I was afraid Sam might laugh at me, but she nodded gravely. Many in Harryar are demigods. Many are regular mortals. You're chosen for Valhalla because of your courage and honor, not your heritage. At least, that's how it's supposed to be. I couldn't decide if her tone was wistful or resentful.
And you?
I asked. How did you become a Valkyrie? Did you die a noble death? She laughed. Not yet. I'm still among the living.
How does that work exactly?
Well, I live a double life. Tonight, I'll escort you to dinner. Then I have to rush home and finish my calculus homework.
You're not joking, are you?
I never joke about calculus homework. The elevator doors opened. We stepped into a room the size of a concert arena. My mouth dropped. Holy! Welcome, Samira said. To the feast hall of the slain. Tiers of long tables like stadium seating curved downward from the nosebleed section. In the center of the room, instead of a basketball court, a tree rose taller than the Statue of Liberty. Its lowest branches were maybe 100 feet up. Its canopy spread over the entire hall, scraping against the domed ceiling and sprouting through a massive opening at the top. Above, stars glittered in the night sky. My first question probably wasn't the most important. Why is there a goat in the tree? In fact, a lot of animals skittered among the branches. I couldn't tell what most of them were, but wobbling along the lowest branch was a very fat, shaggy goat. Its swollen udders rained milk like leaky showerheads. Below, on the dining hall floor, a team of 4 stocky warriors carried a big golden bucket on poles set across their shoulders. They shuffled back and forth, trying to stay under the goat so they could catch the streams of milk. Judging by how soaked the warriors were, they missed a lot. The goat is Hydrin, Sam told me. Her milk is brewed to make the mead of Valhalla. It's good stuff. You'll see.
And the guys chasing her around?
Yeah, that's a thankless job. behave yourself, or you might get assigned to VAT duty.
Couldn't they just, I don't know, bring the goat down here?
She's a free-range goat. Her mead tastes better that way.
Of course it does, I said. And all the other animals? I see squirrels and possums and...
Sugar gliders and sloths, Sam offered. Those are cute.
Okay, but you guys eat dinner here? That can't be hygienic with all the animal droppings.
The animals in the Tree of Labrador are well behaved.
The Tree of Labrador. You named your tree.
Most important things have names. She frowned at me. Who are you again?
Very funny.
Some of the animals are immortal and have particular jobs. I can't spot him right now, but somewhere up there is a stag named Eikthrimir. We call him Ike for short. You see that waterfall?
It was hard to miss. From somewhere high in the tree, water ran down grooves in the bark and formed one powerful torrent that cascaded off a branch in a roaring white curtain. It crashed into a pond the size of an Olympic pool between two of the tree's roots.
The stag's horns spray water non-stop, Sam said. It flows down the branches into that lake. From there, it goes underground and feeds every river in every world.
So, all water is staghorn runoff? I'm pretty sure that's not what they taught me in earth science.
It's not all from Ike's horns. There's also snow melt, rainwater, pollutants, and trace amounts of fluoride in Jotun spit.
Jotun?
You know, giants.
She didn't appear to be kidding, though it was hard to be sure. Her face was full of tense humor, her eyes darting and alert, her lips pressed together like she was either suppressing a laugh or expecting an attack. I could imagine her doing stand-up comedy, though maybe not with the axe at her side. Her features also seemed strangely familiar. The line of her nose, the curve of her jaw, the subtle streaks of red and copper in her dark hair.
Have we met before? I asked. I mean, before you chose my soul for Valhalla? I doubt it, she said.
But you're mortal. You live in Boston?
Dorchester. I'm a sophomore at King Academy. I live with my grandparents and spend most of my time finding excuses to cover for my Valkyrie activities. Tonight, Zeed and Bibi think I'm tutoring a group of elementary students in math. Any other questions?
Her eyes sent the opposite message. Enough with the personal stuff.
I wondered why she lived with her grandparents. Then I remembered what she'd said earlier about understanding what it was like to grieve for a mother.
No more questions, I decided. My head would explode.
That would be messy, Sam said. Let's get your seat before...
Around the perimeter of the room, 100 doors burst open. The armies of Valhalla swarmed in.
Dinner is served, Sam said.
Chapter 13. Phil the Potato Meets His Doom. We were swept up in a tidal wave of hungry warriors. Inheriar poured in from every direction, pushing, joking, and laughing as they headed for their seats.
Hold on, Sam told me.
She grabbed my wrist, and we flew into the air Peter Pan style. I yelped,
A little warning? I said, hold on.
We skimmed above the heads of the warriors. Nobody paid us much attention except for one guy I accidentally kicked in the face. Other Valkyries were also zipping around, some escorting warriors, some carrying platters of food and pitchers of drink. We headed toward what was obviously the head table, where the home team would have sat if this were a Celtics game. A dozen grim-looking dudes were taking their seats in front of golden plates and jewel-encrusted goblets. In the place of honor stood an empty wooden throne with a high back, where two ravens perched, grooming their feathers. Sam landed us at the table to the left,
12 other people were just getting seated. 2 girls and 4 guys in regular street clothes. 6 Valkyries dressed more or less like Sam.
Other newcomers? I asked.
Sam nodded, her eyebrows furrowed.
7 in one night is a lot.
Is that good or bad?
More heroes dying means more bad things are stirring in the world, which means... She pursed her lips. Never mind. Let's get seated.
Before we could, a tall Valkyrie stepped in our path.
Samira Alabas, what have you brought us tonight? Another half-troll? Perhaps a spy from your father?
The girl looked about 18. She was big enough to play power forward, with snow-blonde hair and braids down either shoulder. Over her green dress, she wore a bandolier of ball-peen hammers, which struck me as an odd choice of weapon. Maybe Valhalla had a lot of loose nails. Around her neck hung a golden amulet shaped like a hammer. Her eyes were as pale blue and cold as a winter sky.
Gunilla, Sam's voice tightened. This is Magnus Chase.
I held out my hand.
Gorilla, pleased to meet you.
The girl's nostrils flared.
It is Gunilla, captain of the Valkyries, and you, newcomer.
The foghorn I'd heard earlier echoed through the hall. This time, I could see the source. Near the base of the tree, 2 guys held a black and white animal horn the size of a canoe, while a 3rd guy blew into it. Thousands of warriors took their seats. Gorilla gave me one last stink eye, then spun on her heel and marched off to the head table.
Be careful, Sam warned me. Gunilla is powerful.
Also kind of a butt.
The corner of Sam's mouth twitched.
That, too.
She looked shaken, her knuckles white on the haft of her axe. I wondered what Gunilla had meant by a spy from your father, but since my windpipe was still sore from the last time I made Sam angry, I decided not to ask. I sat at the end of the table next to Sam, so I didn't get to talk to the other newbies. Meanwhile, hundreds of Valkyries flew around the room, distributing food and drink. Whenever a Valkyrie's pitcher was empty, she would swoop over the golden vat now bubbling over a large fire, fill her pitcher with yummy goat's milk mead, and continue serving. The main course came from a roasting pit at the other end of the room. Rotating on a 100-foot-long spit was the carcass of an animal. I wasn't sure what it had been when it was alive, but it was easily the size of a blue whale. A Valkyrie flew past, depositing a platter of food and a goblet in front of me. I couldn't tell what the slices of meat were, but they smelled great, drizzled in gravy with potatoes on the side and thick slices of bread with butter. It had been a while since I'd had a hot meal, but I still hesitated.
What kind of animal am I eating?
Sam wiped her mouth with the back of her hand.
It's named Serimnir.
Okay, first of all, who names their dinner? I don't want to know my dinner's name. This potato? Is this potato named Steve?
She rolled her eyes. No, stupid. That's Phil. The bread is Steve.
I stared at her.
Kidding, she said. Serimnir is the magical beast of Valhalla. Every day they kill it and cook it for dinner. Every morning it's resurrected alive and well.
That must suck for the animal. But is it like a cow or a pig or...
It's whatever you want it to be. My portion is beef. Different sections of the animal are chicken or pork. I don't do pork, but some of the guys here love it.
What if I'm a vegetarian? What if I want falafel?
Sam became very still.
Was that some sort of joke?
Why would it be a joke? I like falafel.
Her shoulders relaxed.
Well, if you want falafel, just ask for the left flank. That part is tofu and bean curd. They can spice it to taste like just about anything.
You have a magic animal whose left flank is made of tofu.
This is Valhalla, paradise for warriors and the service of Odin. Your food will taste perfect, whatever you choose.
My stomach was getting impatient, so I dug in.
The barbecue had just the right mix of spicy and sweet. The bread was like a warm cloud with a buttery crust. Even Phil the potato tasted great. Not being a huge fan of free-range goat milk, I was reluctant to try the mead, but the stuff in my goblet looked more like sparkling cider. I took a sip. Sweet, but not too sweet. Cold and smooth, with undercurrents I couldn't quite identify. Was that blackberry? Or honey? Or vanilla? I drained my glass. Suddenly, my senses were on fire. It wasn't like alcohol, and yes, I've tried alcohol, thrown up, tried alcohol again, thrown up. The mead didn't make me giddy, dopey, or nauseous. It was more like iced espresso without the bitter taste. It woke me up, filling me with a warm sense of confidence, but with no edginess or racing heartbeat. "This stuff is good," I admitted. A Valkyrie swooped in, refilled my cup, and flew away. I glanced at Sam, who was brushing breadcrumbs off of her scarf. "Do you ever do serving duty?" "Yeah, sure. We take turns. It's an honor to serve the Inheriar." She didn't even sound sarcastic. "How many Valkyries are there?"
"Several thousand."
"How many Inheriar?" Sam puffed her cheeks.
"Tens of thousands? Like I said, this is just the first dinner. There are two other shifts for the older warriors. Valhalla has 540 doors. Each one is supposed to accommodate 800 warriors exiting for battle at once. That would mean 432,000 Inheriar."
"That's a lot of tofu." She shrugged.
"Personally, I think the number is exaggerated, but only Odin knows for sure. We'll need a big army when Ragnarok rolls around."
"Ragnarok," I said.
"Doomsday," Sam said. "When the nine worlds are destroyed in a great conflagration, and the armies of gods and giants meet in battle for the last time."
"Oh, that Ragnarok."
I scanned the sea of teenaged fighters. I remembered my first day of public high school in Alston, a few months before my mom died and my life turned to dumpster sludge. The school had had around 2,000 kids. Between classes, the halls were sheer chaos. The cafeteria was like a piranha tank, but it was nothing compared to Valhalla. I pointed toward the head table. "What about the fancy dudes? Most of them look older."
"I wouldn't call them fancy dudes," Sam said. "Those are the Thanes, the lords of Valhalla. Each one was personally invited by Odin to sit at his table."
"So the empty throne
is for Odin, yes. He, well, it's been a while since he's shown up for dinner, but his ravens watch everything and report back to him."
Those ravens made me nervous with their beady black eyes. I got the feeling they were taking a particular interest in me.
Sam pointed to the right of the throne. "There's Eric Bloodaxe, and that's Eric the Red."
"A lot of Erics."
"There's Leif Erikson."
"Whoa! But he's not wearing a metal bra."
"I'm going to ignore that comment. Over there is Snorri, then our charming friend Gunilla, then Lord Nelson and Davy Crockett."
"Davy, wait, seriously?"
"At the end is Helgi, the hotel manager. You probably met him."
Helgi seemed to be having a good time, laughing with Davy Crockett and chugging mead. Behind his chair, the bellhop Hunding stood, looking miserable, carefully peeling grapes and handing them to Helgi one at a time. "What's the deal with the manager and Hunding?"
Sam made a sour face. "Ancestral feud when they were alive. When they died, both made it to Valhalla, but Odin honored Helgi more. He put Helgi in charge of the hotel. Helgi's first order was that his enemy Hunding would be his servant and do his menial tasks for all time."
"That doesn't seem like much of a paradise for Hunding."
Sam hesitated. In a quieter voice, she said, "Even in Valhalla, there's a pecking order. You don't want to be at the bottom. Remember, when the ceremony begins..."
At the high table, the Thanes began banging their cups on the table in unison. All around the hall, the Inheriar joined in until the hall of the slain thundered with a metal heartbeat. Helgi stood and raised his goblet. The noise died down.
Warriors!
The manager's voice filled the hall. He looked so regal it was hard to believe he was the same guy who a few hours ago had offered me a suite upgrade and a minibar key.
7 new fallen have joined us today. That would be reason enough to celebrate. But we also have a special treat for you. Thanks to Valkyrie Captain Ganilla, today, for the first time, we will not just hear about our newcomers' worthy deeds. We will be able to see them.
Next to me, Sam made a choking sound.
No, she muttered. No, no, no.
Let the presentation of the dead commence, Helgi bellowed.
10,000 warriors turned and looked expectantly in my direction. Chapter 14. 4 million channels, and there's still nothing on except Valkyrie vision. Hooray for going last! I was relieved when the presentation started, with Inheriar at the other end of the table, until I saw what the other newbies had done to get into Valhalla. Helgi called,
Lars Ahlstrom!
A heavy-set blonde guy rose with his Valkyrie. Lars was so nervous, he knocked over his goblet, splashing magic mead all over his crotch. A wave of laughter rippled through the hall. Helgi smiled.
As many of you know, Captain Ganilla has been phasing in new equipment over the past few months. She's been fitting her Valkyrie's armor with cameras to keep everyone accountable, and hopefully to keep us entertained.
The warriors cheered and banged their mugs, drowning out the sound of Sam cursing next to me. Helgi raised his goblet.
I present to you Valkyrie Vision!
Around the tree trunk, a ring of giant holographic screens flickered to life, floating in midair. The video was choppy, apparently taken from a camera on the shoulder of a Valkyrie. We were high in the air, circling over the scene of a sinking ferry in a gray sea. Half the lifeboats dangled sideways from their cables. Passengers jumped overboard, some without life vests. The Valkyrie swooped in closer. The video's focus sharpened. Lars Ahlstrom scrambled along the tilting deck, a fire extinguisher in his hands. The door to the inside lounge was blocked by a large metal container. Lars struggled to move it, but it was too heavy. Inside the lounge, a dozen people were trapped, banging desperately on the windows. Lars shouted something to them in Swedish? Norwegian? The meaning was clear. Get back! As soon as they did, Lars smashed the extinguisher against the window. On the third try, it shattered. Despite the cold, Lars stripped off his coat and laid it across the broken glass. He stayed at the window until the last passengers were safely out. They ran for the lifeboats. Lars picked up the fire extinguisher again and started to follow, but the ship lurched violently. His head slammed into the wall and he slid down, unconscious. His body began to glow. The Valkyrie's arm appeared in the frame, reaching out. A shimmering golden apparition rose from Lars's body. His soul, I guessed. Golden Lars took the Valkyrie's hand, and the video screens went dark. All around the feast hall, warriors cheered. At the head table, the Thanes debated among themselves. I was close enough to hear some of it. One guy, Lord Nelson, questioned whether a fire extinguisher could count as a weapon. I leaned toward Sam. Why does that matter? She tore her bread into smaller and smaller pieces. To get into Valhalla, a warrior must die in battle with a weapon in his or her hand. That's the only way.
So, I whispered, anyone could get into Valhalla if they just grabbed a sword and died?
She snorted.
Of course not. We can't have kids taking up weapons and dying on purpose. There's nothing heroic about suicide. The sacrifice, the bravery has to be unplanned. A genuine heroic response to a crisis. It has to come from the heart, without any thought of reward.
So, what if the Thanes decide that a newbie shouldn't have been picked? Does he go back to being alive?
I tried not to sound too hopeful.
Sam wouldn't meet my eyes.
Once you're an Inheri, there's no going back. You might get the worst work assignments. You might have a hard time earning respect. But you stay in Valhalla. If the Thanes rule the death unworthy, well, the Valkyrie takes the punishment for that.
Oh.
Suddenly I understood why all the Valkyries at our table looked a little tense. The Thanes took a vote among themselves. They agreed unanimously that the fire extinguisher could count as a weapon and Lars's death could be seen as in combat.
What greater enemy is there than the sea? Said Helgi. We find Lars Ahlstrom worthy of Valhalla.
More applause. Lars almost fainted. His Valkyrie held him up while smiling and waving at the crowd. When the noise died down, Helgi continued.
Lars Ahlstrom, do you know your parentage?
I?
The newcomer's voice cracked.
I never knew my father.
Helgi nodded.
That is not uncommon. We will seek wisdom from the runes, unless the All-Father wishes to intercede.
Everyone turned toward the unoccupied throne. The ravens ruffled their feathers and squawked. The throne remained empty. Helgi didn't look surprised, but his shoulders slumped with disappointment. He motioned toward the fire pit. From a cluster of servers and cooks, a lady in a green hooded robe shuffled forward. Her face was hidden in the shadows of her cowl, but judging from her stooped posture and her gnarled hands, she must have been ancient. I murmured to Sam,
"Who's the wicked witch?"
"Avala, a seer. She can cast spells, read the future, and other stuff." The Vala approached our table. She stopped in front of Lars Ahlstrom and pulled a leather pouch from the folds of her robe. She plucked out a handful of runestones like the ones in Uncle Randolph's study.
"And the runes?" I whispered to Sam. "What are they for?"
"They're the old Viking alphabet," she said. "But each letter also symbolizes something powerful. A god, a type of magic, a force of nature. They're like the genetic code of the universe. The Vala can read the stones to see your fate. The greatest sorcerers, like Odin, don't even need to use the stones. They can manipulate reality simply by speaking the name of a rune." I made a mental note to avoid Odin. I didn't need my reality manipulated any further. In front of our table, the Vala muttered something under her breath. She cast the stones at her feet. They landed on the dirt floor, some face up, some face down. One rune in particular seemed to catch everyone's attention. The holographic screens projected its image to everyone in the hall. The mark meant nothing to me, but hundreds of warriors shouted with approval.
"Thor!"
they cried. Then they started to chant,
"Thor! Thor! Thor!"
Sam grunted, "As if we need another child of Thor."
"Why? What's wrong with them?"
"Nothing. They're great. Gunilla over there. She's a daughter of Thor."
"Oh."
The Valkyrie captain was smiling, which was even scarier than her scowl. As the chanting subsided, the Vala raised her withered arms.
"Lars, son of Thor, rejoice! The runes say you shall fight well at Ragnarok. And tomorrow, in your first combat, you shall prove your valor and be decapitated."
The audience cheered and laughed. Lars suddenly looked very pale. That just made the warriors laugh harder, as if decapitation were a hazing ritual no worse than a wedgie. The Vala gathered her runes and retreated, while Lars's Valkyrie helped him back into his seat. The ceremony continued. Next up was a newcomer named Didi. She'd saved a bunch of kids at her village school when a warlord's soldiers had tried to kidnap them. She'd flirted with one of the soldiers, tricked him into letting her hold his assault rifle, then turned it on the warlord's men. She was killed, but her selfless act gave the other kids time to get away. The video was pretty violent. The Vikings loved it. Dee Dee got a standing ovation. The Vala read the runes. She confirmed that Dee Dee's parents were regular mortals, but nobody seemed to mind that. According to Dee Dee's fortune, she would fight valiantly at Ragnarok. Over the next week, she would lose her arm several times in combat. Within 100 years, she would rise to the Thane's table.
Ooh, the crowd murmured appreciatively.
The other four newcomers were equally impressive. They'd all saved people. They'd sacrificed their lives bravely. Two were mortals. One was the son of Odin, which caused a minor commotion. Sam leaned toward me.
Like I said, Odin has not been seen in quite a while. We welcome any sign that he still moves among mortals.
The last newcomer was a daughter of Heimdall. I wasn't sure who that was, but the Vikings seemed impressed. My head was swimming from too much information. My senses were on fire from too much mead. I didn't even realize we'd reached the end of the table until Helgi called my name.
Magnus Chase! He bellowed. Rise and impress us with your courage!
Chapter 15. My blooper video goes viral. My courage impressed no one. I squirmed in my seat as the video played. The Inheriar watched the screens in shocked silence. Then the mumbling and grumbling began, punctuated by bursts of incredulous laughter. Valkyrie vision showed only portions of what had happened. I saw myself on the bridge, facing Surt as he summoned a fiery tornado. The camera zoomed in on me threatening him with my corroded piece of metal. Then Harth and Blitz appeared. Blitz hit the black one with his make way for duckling sign. Harth's squeaky toy arrow hit me in the butt. Surt punched me. Surt kicked me in the ribs. I puked and squirmed in agony. The video fast-forwarded to me backing up against the bridge railing. Surt threw his fiery asphalt cannonball. I swung my sword and missed. In the feast hall, thousands of warriors grunted, "Oh!" as the chunk of pavement hit me in the gut. Surt charged, and we both went over the side, grappling as we fell. Just before we hit the water, the video froze and zoomed in. The sword was now sticking out of Surt's gut, but my hands weren't on the grip. They were wrapped around Surt's big neck. An uncomfortable murmur spread through the room.
No, I said. No, that's not how... Someone edited that. It's like a blooper reel.
Sam's face had turned to stone. At the Thane's table, Captain Ganilla smirked.
Her cameras, I realized. Her editing.
For some reason, Ganilla wanted to disgrace Sam by making me look like an idiot, which, granted, wasn't a difficult task. Helgi set down his goblet.
Samira Aulabis, explain!
Sam touched the edge of her scarf. I had a feeling she wanted to pull it over her head and hope the room disappeared. I couldn't blame her.
Magnus Chase died bravely, she said. He stood alone against Surt.
More uneasy murmuring. One of the Thanes stood.
You say that was Surt. A fire, Jotun, certainly. But if you're suggesting it was the Lord of Muspelheim himself...
I know what I saw, Eric Bloodaxe. This one...
Sam gestured at me like I was a prize specimen.
Saved many lives on that bridge. The video does not show the whole story. Magnus Chase acted like a hero. He deserves to be among the fallen.
Another Thane rose.
He didn't actually die with the sword in his hand.
Lord Oter,
Sam's voice sounded strained.
The Thanes have looked past such a technicality before. Whether or not Magnus gripped the sword at the moment of death, he died bravely in combat.
That is the spirit of Odin's law.
Lord Odur sniffed.
Thank you, Samira Alabis, daughter of Loki, for teaching us the spirit of Odin's law.
The tension level in the hall went up about 30 notches. Sam's hand drifted toward her axe. I doubted anyone but me could see how her fingers twitched.
Loki.
I knew that name. Norse mythology's big villain, born of giants. He was the archenemy of the gods. If Sam was his daughter, why was she here? How had she become a Valkyrie? I happened to meet Gunilla's eyes. The captain was obviously loving this drama. She could barely suppress a smile. If she was Thor's kid, that explained why she hated Sam. In the old stories, Thor and Loki were always trying to melt each other's faces. The Thanes debated among themselves. Finally, Helgi the manager spoke.
Samira, we're not seeing any heroism in this boy's death. We see a dwarf and an elf with toy weapons.
A dwarf and an elf? I asked, but Helgi ignored me.
We see a fire Jotun who fell off a bridge and took the boy with him. That's an unusual situation, a son of Muspel crossing into Midgard, but it has happened before.
Shoot, muttered a Thane with bushy sideburns. Y'all should have seen the big old fire Jotun Santa Anna had with him at the Alamo, I tell you.
Yes, thank you, Lord Crockett.
Helgi cleared his throat.
As I was saying, we see very little evidence that Magnus Chase was a worthy choice for Valhalla.
My lords,
Sam spoke slowly and carefully, like she was addressing children.
The video is not accurate.
Helgi laughed.
Are you suggesting we shouldn't trust our own eyes?
I'm suggesting that you hear the story from my point of view. It has always been our tradition to tell of the hero's deeds.
Gunilla stood.
Pardon me, my lords, but Samira is correct. Perhaps we should let the daughter of Loki speak.
The crowd booed and hissed. Some called,
No! No!
Helgi gestured for silence.
Gunilla, you do your sisterhood credit by defending a fellow Valkyrie, but Loki has always been a master of smooth, honeyed words. Personally, I would rather trust what I see than have it spun for me in some clever explanation.
Warriors applauded.
Gunilla shrugged like, Oh, well, I tried,
and sank back into her chair.
Magnus Chase,
Helgi called.
Do you know your parentage?
I counted to five. My first inclination was to yell,
No, but your dad was apparently a jackass.
I don't know my father, I admitted. But, look, about that video...
Perhaps you have potential we do not recognize, Helgi said. Perhaps you are a son of Odin or Thor or some other noble war god, and your presence brings us honor. We will seek wisdom from the runes, unless the All-Father would intercede?
He glanced at the throne, which remained empty. The ravens studied me with dark, hungry eyes.
Very well, Helgi said. Bring forth the Vala and...
Between the roots of the tree, where the waterfall hit the dark lake, a massive bubble erupted.
Bloop!
On the surface of the water stood three women shrouded in white. Except for the crackle of cooking fire and the sound of the waterfall, the hall was silent. Thousands of warriors watched, frozen in amazement, as the three white women glided across the floor, heading toward me.
Sam, I whispered. Sam, what's going on?
Her hand fell from her axe.
The Norns, she said. The Norns themselves have come to read your fate.
Chapter 16. Norns. Why did it have to be Norns?
I really wished someone had warned me I was going to die. Like, hey, you're diving off a bridge tomorrow and becoming an undead Viking, so go read up on Valhalla.
I felt seriously unprepared.
I remembered hearing about Norns, the ladies who controlled mortal destinies, but I didn't know their names or their motivation or the proper etiquette for meeting them.
Was I supposed to bow? Offer them gifts? Run away screaming?
Next to me, Sam muttered,
"This is bad. The Norns only show up in extreme cases."
I didn't want to be an extreme case. I wanted to be an easy case.
Hey, good job. You're a hero. Have a cookie.
Or even better,
oops, this was all a mistake. You can go back to your regularly scheduled life.
Not that my regularly scheduled life was so great, but it beat getting judged unworthy by 12 bearded guys named Eric. As the Norns got closer, I realized how big they were, at least 9 feet tall each. Under their hoods, their faces were beautiful but unnerving, blank white, even their eyes. Trailing behind them came a sheet of fog like a bridal train. They stopped 20 feet in front of my table and turned up their palms. Their skin was like sculpted snow.
Magnus Chase.
I couldn't tell which Norn had spoken. The soft, disembodied voice resonated through the hall, seeping into my head, turning my skull into an icebox.
Harbinger of the Wolf.
The crowd stirred uneasily. I'd seen the word harbinger somewhere before, maybe in a fantasy novel, but I couldn't remember what it meant. I didn't like the sound of it. I liked the sound of wolf even less. I'd just about decided that running away screaming was my smartest option. Then, in the hands of the middle Norn, fog collected, solidifying into half a dozen runestones. She threw them into the air. They floated above her, each rune expanding into a luminous white symbol as big as a poster board. I couldn't read runes, but I recognized the one in the center. It was the same symbol I'd picked from the pouch in Uncle Randolph's office.
Fehu, announced the cold voice. The rune of Frey.
Thousands of warriors shifted in their seats, clanking restlessly in their armor.
Frey? Who is Frey?
My mind felt coated with frost. My thoughts were sluggish. The Norns spoke together, three ghostly voices chanting in unison, shaking leaves from the giant tree.
Wrongly chosen, wrongly slain. A hero Valhalla cannot contain. 9 days hence the sun must go east, ere Sword of Summer unbinds the beast.
The glowing runes dissolved. The three Norns bowed to me. They melted into the fog and disappeared. I glanced at Sam.
How often does that happen?
She looked like she'd been smacked between the eyes with one of Ganilla's hammers.
No, choosing you couldn't have been a mistake. I was told, I was promised.
Someone told you to pick me up?
Instead of answering, she murmured under her breath, as if running calculations for a rocket that had gone off course. At the Thane's table, the lords conferred. All around the hall, thousands of Inheriar studied me. My stomach folded itself into various origami shapes. Finally, Helgi faced me.
Magnus Chase, son of Frey, your destiny is troubling. The lords of Valhalla must think on this further. For the time being, you shall be welcomed as a comrade. You are one of the Inheriar now. That cannot be reversed, even if it was a mistake.
He scowled at Sam.
Samira Alabas, the Norns themselves have pronounced your judgment in error. Do you have any defense?
Sam's eyes widened as if she just realized something.
The son of Frey.
She looked around the room desperately.
In Harjar, don't you see? This is the son of Frey. Surt himself was on that bridge. That means the sword.
She turned to the Thane's table.
Gunilla, you must see what that means. We have to find that sword. A quest, immediately.
Helgi banged his fist on the table.
Enough! Samira, you stand in judgment for a grave mistake. It is not your place to tell us what to do. It is definitely not your place to order a quest.
I did not make a mistake, Sam said. I did as I was ordered.
Ordered?
Helgi narrowed his eyes.
Ordered by whom?
Sam's mouth shut. She seemed to deflate. Helgi nodded grimly.
I see. Captain Gunilla, before I announce the Thane's judgment on this Valkyrie, do you wish to speak?
Gunilla stirred. The gleam in her eyes was gone. She looked like someone who'd gotten in line for the merry-go-round and unexpectedly found herself trapped on a roller coaster. She shook her head.
No, my lord. I have nothing to add.
Very well, said Helgi. Samira Alabas, for your poor judgment with this Inherjú Magnus chase, and for your past mistakes, the Thanes rule that you be expelled from the Sisterhood of Valkyries. You are hereby stripped of your powers and privileges. Return to Midgard in disgrace.
Sam grabbed my arm.
Magnus, listen to me. You have to find the sword. You have to stop them.
Like a camera flash, a burst of light, and Sam was gone. Her half-eaten meal and the breadcrumbs around her seat were the only sign she'd ever existed.
So concludes our feast, Helgi announced. I will see you all tomorrow on the field of battle. Sleep well, and dream of glorious death!
Chapter 17. I did not ask for biceps. I didn't sleep much. I definitely didn't dream of glorious death. Been there, done that, got the afterlife. While I was at dinner, my sofa had been put back and repaired. I sat on it and thumbed through my old children's book of Norse mythology, but it didn't have much about Frey. One tiny picture showed a blonde guy in a tunic frolicking in the woods, a blonde lady at his side, a couple of cats playing at their feet. "Frey was the god of spring and summer," read the caption. "He was the god of wealth, abundance, and fertility. His twin sister, Freya, the goddess of love, was very pretty. She had cats." I tossed the book aside. Great. My dad was a D-list god who frolicked in the woods. He was probably eliminated early last season on Dancing with the Asgardians. Did it crush me to learn this? Not really. You might not believe it, but my dad's identity had never been a big deal to me. It wasn't like I ever felt incomplete. Like if only I knew my dad, my life would make sense. I knew who I was. I was Natalie Chase's son. As for life making sense, I'd seen too much weirdness to expect that. Still, I had a lot of items on my I don't get it list. At the very top, how could a homeless kid have a dad who was the god of abundance and wealth? Talk about a cruel joke. Also, why would I get targeted by a big bad dude like Surt? If he was the lord of Muspelheim, High King Roasty Toasty, shouldn't he pick on more interesting heroes, like the children of Thor? At least their dad had a movie franchise. Frey didn't even have his own cats. He had to borrow his sister's. And the Sword of Summer. Assuming that was the blade I had pulled from the Charles River, how had it ended up there? Why was it so important? Uncle Randolph had been searching for it for years. Sam's last words to me were about finding the sword again. If it had belonged to my dad,
and my dad was an immortal god, why had he allowed his weapon to sit at the bottom of a river for 1,000 years?